God has a message for you today, and that message is going to bless you, and it's going to add something to your life. Because when God speaks, it is. There's going to be something that God will deposit in you today that will change your life. How do I know? Because it has done something for me. And if it's done something in my life, then it will do something in your life also. So today, as we just come together to share this word, I want us just to close our eyes as we share together and seek the Lord to come and let His presence be real among us here. So Father, as we just take this moment in Your presence to seek that You will speak to us, each one, and that as You speak to us, Father, that word will become a reality in our hearts and in our lives. And that, Father, we say thank You because You have come to be present with us here. And now, Father, I ask that the Spirit of God would open the ears of our understanding, that we might hear Your voice, that You'd open the eyes of our understanding, our spiritual eyes, to see beyond that which is the natural world around us, into that other world in which You dwell. Father, let the Spirit of God become our teacher today to share with us the truth that makes us free. And whatever the need of this people is today, Father, some have come looking for answers to their life's problems. And Father, I know that You are going to be faithful and You will supply those answers today. And for those that have come just simply to be blessed, that they will also be blessed. Therefore, Father, I know that You will meet the need of every heart here today. And we say thank You, and we bless Your holy name because of Your faithfulness. And now, Father, let it be that Your presence would remain with us throughout this time, and that the blessing of the Lord will be made available to each one. We say thank You, and all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank You, Lord. About 12 months ago, God began to reveal something to me that I did not know. I had never heard anyone speak about it, and I did not know myself. And it was such an interesting thing that I began to try and possess it for myself and to allow this thing, this what God was showing me, to become a reality in my life. But in doing so, I stressed myself, and of course that was a silly thing to do. And my blood pressure went up, and that caused my wife to be very concerned. So I had to just slow down a little bit and say, Father, I want You to teach me. You see, before you can, if you receive something from God, you cannot share that with anyone else until it becomes your reality. So that was why I was pressing into God to try and receive this to the point where it became real for me. Well, it didn't become real for some time. It's only about 2 months ago when the reality really came to me. And so what I'm going to share with you today, you'll need to hide it in your heart, because you will not just receive it in its fullness and in reality in your life until God puts it in there for you. So we need to just hide it in our heart. But I had to have it in reality first before I could share it with you. So we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 1, because this is where we have to start. Jeremiah chapter 1. This is where we start. This is a verse that I've used this year everywhere I've been, and it has been a blessing to so many people. But this gives us some kind of place to start. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. And it says here, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Did you hear that?
Yes.
Before you were even conceived in the womb, God said, "I knew you." What does this mean? This means that God knew you before you were born on this earth. It also means that you had an existence before you were born on this earth. And that's very important for you to understand. Religion only takes up the story of your life from the day when you were born into this world. And they will tell you that you were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. God's angry with you, and somehow you've got to settle this whole thing in your life. Otherwise, God's not interested in you. That's a lie, I will tell you right now. That is a lie. Because God's saying here, and this was to one of the prophets, "I knew you before you were conceived in your mother's womb." It means that you had an existence way before you were ever born on this earth. And that existence was in God. That's very important for us to know. And God knew you. Because it says in this verse, God not only knew you before you were born, but he sanctified you. You realize what that means? It means that God set you apart. This is every one of you here. God set you apart for a divine purpose in your life. In other words, God did not just create you in the beginning and tap you on the shoulder and say, "Well, I hope you do good. You know, try and be good and do good out there." He had a divine purpose for you before you were ever born on this earth. Some of us, we didn't quite find that purpose immediately. I want to tell you, I grew up through my teenage years not knowing who I really was, even though I knew God at that time. But I didn't know who I was because I never understood that my life was connected with God and that whatever he is, that's what I am. I never understood that. And many people go through years of their life without discovering who they are or the purpose for which they were put on the earth. I listen to many young people in Australia, and they say to me, "I don't even want to be born. I never asked to be born on this earth. I don't want to be here." And you see, that's a terrible position to be in life on this earth. Because if you don't know that there is a divine purpose for your life, then you've got to find some kind of purpose for your life. And many people find it hard to discover that. But I'm telling you now, God said, "Before you were conceived in the womb, I knew you." Not you existed, but God said, "You were known to me, I knew you." And that word in the Hebrew language means the knowledge that a man has of his wife. Did you hear that? That's what that word "to know" means. God knew you intimately because he created you in the beginning. So that's why we're going back to Genesis chapter 1, because we want to see how he created us, how he made us, and many of the things concerning life. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And the Bible says, and God said, let us make man. Now we've come to the beginning of man. The beginning of your life was not when you were born on this earth. This is the beginning of your life. So today, you could almost say this message is, this is your life. Because we're going to discover who we are and how we are to function. He says, let us make man after in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. So that's enough just for now. You were created, not made, you were created out of God in the image and the likeness of God. God is spirit. Did you hear that? God is spirit. Therefore, that's how you were created. You were not created a mortal human being. In fact, God never created a mortal human being at all. Therefore, God doesn't know anything about a mortal human being. He created you spirit. And you have to start at this point, otherwise you will not understand who you are. You were created spirit, in the likeness and the image of God. And the likeness and the image of God is spirit. That's what God is. God is spirit. So you are not created as some creature out there that is separated from God. But you are whatever God is, in his likeness and image. And this is for all of you. I don't care where you came from. It doesn't matter what country you were born in. Doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter what color is your skin. It doesn't make any difference. We all came out of the one, which is God. I want to tell you, there is only one Father in this universe. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, the Apostle Paul is speaking there, and this is what he says. He says, God has made of one. God has made of one all the nations on the earth to dwell. What does that mean? That means if God made all the nations on the earth, that there is only one Father. They all came out of God. But when they came out of God, they were spirit. See, because some people say to me, well, you know, the dark people, how could they come out of God and the white people come out of God? And how could the brown people and all the other people, how could they all exist if they came out of one Father? You see, but when you came out of God, you were what he is, that is spirit. You are spirit living in a body today. Don't forget that. You're not just a body. You're not just a mortal human being, but you are spirit living in a body. I didn't say you have a spirit. I said you are spirit. There's a big difference between those two things. You are spirit. And if you are spirit, then there are certain abilities that you have which other creatures do not have that are not spirit. For instance, the animals were never created spirit. The birds were never created spirit. The fish were never created spirit. Only man was created spirit in the likeness and the image of God. And then if you are spirit, of course, that means that you have to learn how to really function out of that spirit. And there are other issues that are going to come up as we go through today. So God said, I knew you before you were conceived in your mother's womb, and I separated you. I sanctified you. Why? Because for every person on this earth, God had a will and a purpose. Every one of you people here today, God had a will and a purpose for your life. Sometimes we take quite a while before we ever find it. There are some people who never find that will and purpose. Not because God has hidden it from us, but because we haven't looked in the right place to discover what that will and purpose was. We never came to a point where we could discover in God what that will and purpose was. See, for many people, God is just a name. It's just G-O-D. It's a word. And it doesn't mean anything except what you want it to mean. So we say, well, somebody must have created the heaven and the earth, so we'll call him God. But see, that's not going to help you. Because if you want to know what the will and purpose of God is for you, then you have to know that God. Because, you know, it's a battle for many people before they understand. But let's go back. God said, or rather Paul said, that the nations of the earth all came out of the one. That means that there's only one Father in this universe. One Father. And what does that mean? It means every one of you people here today are my sister or my brother. And that means that if I go, and like I travel in 10 countries in the world, when I go to those different countries, I can say to them, your father is my father. And this is the truth. Doesn't matter who you are here today, God is your father. That's where you came from. And he's my father too. So what does that mean? That means you're my brother. You see? Now, if the world knew this, there would never be a war. There would never be crime where one person would go out to discredit somebody else or to hurt them or destroy them. There'd never be any crime. But this world doesn't understand that. And I want to say to you too that even in the church world, many people do not understand that. They don't look at the world out there as being their brothers and sisters. They only see their brothers and sisters in those that join the same group that they're in. And that's crazy. That is not Bible. That is not the truth at all. Everybody in this world belongs to God, because there's only one creator in the universe. And if we all came out of God, we must be brothers and sisters. That's what we must be. And we are. And that's how I travel the world. That's how I minister. It doesn't matter who I'm talking to, they are my brother or sister because their father is my father. God is the father of all mankind. So that means that we all start out on an equal footing. We are equal, absolutely, together in God. Nobody is better than the other. Nobody is above the other. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Because he was the first man, Genesis 1:26. He was the first man. But in that man was all of mankind. So we have to establish this as the basis of our sharing here today, because it's very important that we understand we all came out of God and we all were created spirit. That first man never had a body. He was pure spirit. If you'd been there, you wouldn't have even seen him. Because spirit is invisible to our eyes today, to these eyes. So you would not have seen anybody. But God created that man, and there is the man. Well, we need to understand now what is spirit, because we were created spirit. And now we're getting into a realm that is unknown by many Christians, or most Christians. Because spirit is not like the humanity that we have become part of. Spirit is male and female. Genesis 1 verse 27. Just have a look there if you've got your Bibles. This is what the Bible says. So God created man in his own image, that is spirit. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he him. The word them is in the Bible there in that verse, but you can cross it out anyway, because God is not a them. God is a him, not a them. So God created a spirit which is male and female. You understand this? Why? Because you see, that doesn't make sense to us. Man was created, I said man was created spirit, which is male and female, functioning together as one. Now remember, we are not talking about the material physical world. We're not talking about the world in which we live. We're not talking about what we are today as we understand it. But spirit is male and female functioning together as one. Why? Because when God wanted to create you, he did not have to chase around heaven looking for a woman. Are you hearing this?
Yes.
He didn't have to go find a woman somewhere, but he created you. This is James chapter 1 verse 18, if you're taking notes. James, the epistle of James in the New Testament, chapter 1 verse 18. It says, out of his own will God begat us. So that means that God was able to procreate out of himself. Why? Because God is male and female functioning together as one. So that means that God can procreate out of himself. Are you with me?
Yes.
Not yet?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Hang in there. But this is the truth. Spirit is male and female functioning together as one. Otherwise, God could never have produced mankind. He could never have produced mankind unless he was male and female. And, of course, if God is male and female, and we were created out of God, in the image and the likeness of God, we also are spirit. And that spirit in you is exactly the same as what God is, which is male and female functioning together as one. In all of us. In all of us. Because that's what spirit is. Spirit is not male, and it is not female. It is male and female functioning together as one. So that means that God could procreate out of himself without going to find a woman to help him. Today, of course, none of us men can reproduce without a woman. But no woman can reproduce either without the man. Of course, I know they've got sperm banks and all kinds of stuff today they can do. But I'm talking now about how God created us. God created us spirit. And that spirit is male and female. See, I told you what God showed me 12 months ago. You know, this was a bit off the track. I said, Lord, you have to help me here. Oh, but you haven't heard the rest of the story yet. If you're going to balk at that, hang in there, because you're going to learn something today. And what you're going to learn is absolutely essential. If we are ever to see this world come to know God, I want to tell you, you see, there's so many people in this world today who do not know God. The number of people that actually go to church don't always constitute the number of people that know God, because many people in church don't know God. And even some of you today, you're looking at me like, you know, you're wondering whether, you know, I'm off the rails or whether this is really true. God is spirit. And spirit is male and female. There it is, verse 27 of Genesis. And in chapter 1 of Genesis and verse 28, if you like to have a look, you will notice there that God is speaking to the man, not to Adam and Eve. Have you got hold of this? God is talking to the man he created. And what did he say? I want you to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Come on. Does God know what he's doing? Of course. Just because we get tangled up sometime in truth, we don't understand, doesn't mean to say that God was confused. God wasn't confused at all. He said, I want you to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Why? Because God only created one man. You get a hold of this? God only created one man. Not two and not 100. One man. If that man had not done what God told him to do, the purposes of God for this earth would have fallen over and would never have taken place. Why? Because he only created one man. So if that man does not reproduce, the purposes of God on this earth are finished. Because God never created another man. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, your body is God's workmanship. Your body was never created, but you were created. So your body was put together in your mother's womb by the loving hands of your Heavenly Father. He put your body together, but he didn't create it. He made it. It was formed. But you are spirit. You came out of God. That's why I can tell you, none of you were born on this earth. None of you were born on this earth. You say, what are you talking about? Of course, I've got a birthday. You know, I was birthed so many years ago, and you say, I've got a birthday. No, you were never born. Your body was born. If you go back into Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, you find the prophet speaking there, and what does he say? He says, unto us, a child is born, but unto us a son is given. Why is the child born, but the son must be given? Have you ever thought about it? You see, we've got these things in the Bible, but we just skip over it because we don't quite understand what that's about. Well, it's telling you the child is born, that's the body. But the son, which is who you are, because you came out of God, you must be the children of God. And the sons of God cannot be born on this earth. Why? Because we are born of an egg and a sperm. An egg and a sperm will not produce a son of God. It'll only produce a mortal human being. Come on. Are you hearing this?
Yes.
I mean, we had five children. Are they the children of God? No, they are the children of man. The best my wife and I could do was to produce five mortal human beings. That was the best we could do. But you see, God, He is spirit. And He knows that you are spirit. So when you are conceived in your mother's womb, it is the fetus that is growing. If you want to understand this, you read Psalm 139. Because there God is going to show you how much He's involved in your life. Every aspect of your life, God is involved in it. But particularly when it comes to your formation. Because He says there, and I think it's verse 15, He says, when there was nothing in the womb, God said, I brought the parts of your being together. Where did they come from? He created them. Or He formed them, I don't know. But He brought them together anyway. He brought them together. When there was nothing there. So your body, according to Ephesians 2 verse 10, is God's workmanship. That's what He tells you. That's what Paul says. Your body is God's workmanship, but that is not you. Your body is not you. Your body is the house you live in. You cannot see me. You can only see the body I live in. But you see, in this world, that's all we need. Because everybody can see my body, but they cannot see me. So, who I am has to be made known to people by manifestation. In other words, it's how I live, how I function, whether I am loving and kind or whether I'm angry and hurtful. You see, that's the person. And you will not know who I am unless you get to know me and you function with me for some time, and you will get to know. And that's why people think that they can read that Bible you've got. And if we read the Bible, we know God. I want to tell you that's nonsense. You cannot know God by reading a book. You cannot get to know anybody by reading a book. You have to walk with God. You have to talk with God. You have to fellowship with God. You remember in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, you have a picture there which is in many homes. He said, behold, I stand at the door, I'm knocking. I'm knocking. This is Jesus Christ. This is for you. He says, today, I'm standing at the door of your life. I'm knocking. Can I come in? He said, because if any man will open the door and let me in, what for? To lecture you? No. To preach to you? No. He said, if you let me in, we will sit together and maybe have a cup of coffee together, and we are going to fellowship. We're going to just share with each other. And if you've got a problem and I can help you, then God says, that's what I'm going to do. We're going to sit here and we're going to share one with the other. You can share your problems and I'll give you the answers to them. You see, but many of us never knew that. And we've never done that. And so we've never opened the door. And you've never let him into our lives. Why? Because maybe we don't want him to see everything that's there. We don't want him to see all the things that we get up to. But you see, when we let him in, he's going to take care of our problems. Because we've got somebody there now who knows us, who understands us, who understands what we've been through. You see, there are people that suffer in this world and nobody knows about it. In Australia, we've had times or instances when somebody has died in a house, and it was 3 months before they ever found out that there was somebody dead in there. That's a tragedy. How come that we live in a world where we don't even care about anybody else? We don't even care about our neighbors. Because in one case there, the people next door didn't even know that that woman was dead in there. This is tragic. But I want to tell you, God knows everything there is to know about you. He knows everything there is to know about life. He knows how to solve every problem that we have on this earth. And he's knocking and says, "Can I come in?" You remember when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples and there was a storm that came up and the winds began to blow and the waves began to rise and coming into the boat. And the disciples, they're scared. They said, "We're going to die here. This is terrible. Where's Jesus? See, you can't find him when you want him." And somebody said, "He's asleep in the back of the boat." Yeah, that's right. He's asleep in the back of the boat. And look at the storm. Look at the water coming into the boat. But they sent for Jesus. "What's wrong, boys? What's wrong? What's wrong? Look at it. Look at the storm. Look at the water coming into the boat." "Oh, why didn't you do something about that?" "Well, Lord, you know, we can't do anything about that." He says, "You can. You see, you don't know who you are. You are spirit. And I want to tell you, spirit can do anything." That's God. That's God. So, he just put up his hand and stopped the storm. Why was Jesus asleep in the back of the boat? Because the disciples did not need him until the storm came. And I want to tell you, there are many people in this world wait until they get themselves in a terrible, awful mess before they ever seek to know the Lord. But I tell you, he's gracious. It doesn't matter. I mean, he doesn't get angry with you. But he waits. He's not going to knock that door down, I'm telling you. God is not going to knock the door down to get in. He's going to wait for you to open the door. He's a gentleman. God doesn't force himself upon anybody. But if you want him today, you can open that door and he will come in and solve the problems of your life. That's what he does. So now we understand that if that first man did not procreate, the purposes of God would be finished. We would not be here. Why? Because God only created one man. That was Christ Jesus. That's all. So he says in verse 28, "I want you now to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." In James chapter 1 verse 18, it says that God of his own will begat us. But it says a little more. It says there that we should be a kind of first fruit of the God kind of people. You see? God begat us that we should be a kind of first fruit. What is the first fruit? The first fruit in Israel was when they planted their crops, and they were maybe had a crop of wheat or barley or rice or anything. He said, before the harvest is ready, there'll be certain stalks that will be growing up, and the grain will be mature on those stalks. This is before the harvest is really ready. So he said, go out and pick a little bunch of those, bring them into the temple and wave them before the Lord. And what does this mean? It means whatever those stalks are, whatever the grain is in those stalks, that's what the entire harvest of the world will be. Can you understand this? The first fruit. What is the first fruit? The first fruit was that man that God created, Genesis 1:26. Who was that? That was Christ Jesus. Can you hear me today? The harvest of this world, I mean of everybody on this earth, is going to bow the knee to Jesus Christ, is going to confess that Christ is Lord, and every single one of the people on the face of the earth will be as the Christ. Did you hear that? Come on. This is reality. We're not playing games. I'm not having fun with you here today. I'm telling you the truth. Why? He's the first fruit. He's the first fruit. Listen, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, you know, that God began to plant the trees and the grass and the herbs and all the rest on the earth. Do you mean to say that God had to come down here and plant a million mango trees? No. God only had to plant one mango tree. What about oranges? He only had to plant one orange tree. He only had to plant one grapevine. That's all. Why? Because in everything, God put the seed. Did you hear that? In everything. Everything reproduces after its kind. If you've got a cat and that cat gets pregnant, it'll bring forth chickens. Kittens. It'll bring forth kittens. Why? Because everything reproduces after its kind. The mango tree, it grows. There's the mangoes. Every mango has a seed in it. And every seed will reproduce what it was. That's a mango tree. God only had to plant one. That's why God only created one person, one man. Are you hearing this?
Yes.
Come on, you getting a hold of this?
Yes.
Don't bail out on me just because it's a little difficult, because you're not used to hearing ministry like this that makes you think. We want somebody just to get up and tell us, you know, this means that and that means this. But today you're going to have to think a little bit. And so God created one man. But out of that one man has come all of mankind on this earth. Well, let me go a little further. From that one man has come everybody that's ever been born on this earth.
Yes.
There's about, well, I used to say 6.2 billion people on this earth. I think it's up to 6.5 or 6.6. Might even be 7 by now. It's a while since I checked on that. 7 billion people on this earth. But what about the people that were on the earth before this? Every one of them will be in the final harvest according to the first fruit.
Yes.
That is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 Oh God, help us today. Help us, Lord. These things are beyond our natural mind.
Yeah.
So, Lord, give us the ability to really take this in.
Right.
You see, the first fruit is what will determine what the whole harvest will be. Now, if that's true, then we're missing the boat here somewhere. Because the way the church has functioned, the way the religious world has functioned, is not going to get that job done and to produce that kind of result. It's not. And that's why I'm saying to you today, God wants to change something in us. And not just in us, but in the people of the whole world. But it's got to start somewhere. And everywhere I've been sharing this word, there have been people saying, I'm going to be one of them that's going to reproduce after the God kind of people. You see, God said, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. So several times I said to God, you know, we had five children, my wife and I, we had five children. We've got 17 grandchildren. We've got 12 great-grandchildren. My wife tells me there's three more now on the way. So that'll make 15 great-grandchildren. I said, God, I think we've done our little bit toward filling the earth. And God said, that's got nothing to do with it. Those children are the children of men. They are produced with an egg and a sperm. You do not birth sons of God with an egg and a sperm. Hello.
Hello. Amen.
You see, so this means that we must use the seed of God if we want to produce the sons of God. And to do that, you have to know you are spirit. You are spirit. You can't do it otherwise. You are spirit. So now, we've come to the place where we understand that this was what was required. The first man, who was Christ Jesus, was expected to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Well, let me show you. He did exactly what he was told. Because if he hadn't, the purposes of God would have been finished right there. Because God only created one man. You got that now in your mind? God only created one man. Not two, just one. And if that man did not procreate out of himself, because there was nobody else to procreate with, God never made a man and a woman, or never created a man and a woman. God only created a man. Now, you women are looking at me. Okay, hang in there, will you? Because I've got the answer for you. You'll be very happy when you hear the whole story. But God only created a man. That's what you have to know. And you have to know that God never created a woman. That's also true. But you haven't got the answer to all that yet. But I will tell you. I'm not going to leave you in the dark. So it says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, and the Lord God, so that first man now has become the Lord God, which is Jehovah Elohim. You see, one of the things that we have learned is that when Jesus Christ, when God created that first man, that it was God's intention, it was God's desire, in fact, it was part of his plan that God would dwell in the man that he created. Why? Well, in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8, God is speaking to Israel, to Moses, and said, Moses, tell the children of Israel to build me a sanctuary. This is the first time that there was a sanctuary of God on the earth. And he said, build me a sanctuary. What for, Lord? What do you want us to build you a sanctuary for? So I can dwell with my people. All the people on this earth are the children of God. Did you hear that? I mean everybody. Everybody. I know there are people today that would like to burn me at the stake when I say things like this, but I want to tell you this is the truth. You cannot tell me where anybody came from who did not come out of God. There is no other source of life in this universe. There is nowhere where any man, woman, or child could come into this world except through God. That's all. They are all the children of God. What did they have to do to be children of God? Nothing. They were birthed into this world. How? Well, a man and a wife comes together with an egg and a sperm, and the fetus begins to develop in the womb of the woman. And at a certain point in that pregnancy, God simply drops a spirit into that little fetus, and a child is born. You see? That child is not the body. You are not your body. You are spirit, and that spirit is Christ. That's who you are. But we don't know that, you see, because nobody told us. The church just told us that we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Well, that didn't help us very much. That pushed me down further into the hole. I didn't know how to get out of it. But then I understood that I came out of God, and so did you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, your body is God's workmanship, but you, I said you, were created in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Did you hear that? Your body was formed, but you were created in Christ Jesus. That means you came out of God, and God is spirit, and the only thing that can come out of God is spirit. Amen? Okay, we'll keep going. Genesis 2 verse 7. This first man now is doing what he was told. He has to birth the Christ, which is to birth a manifestation of himself, because that's who he is. He is the Christ. And you are born, you are created in him. So what does that make you? You have to be exactly what Christ is. Christ is spirit. Christ is not a body. It's not a person like us with a body. But Christ is spirit. But 2,000 years ago, there was a man on this earth who was not born of an egg and a sperm. To bring that one into the world, God simply looked for a virgin, a girl, a woman who had never had relationship with a man. And an angel went to a little girl called Mary, she was a young woman, called Mary, who was a virgin, and said to her, you're going to have a child. Oh, she said, not me, because I'm not married. And do you understand that in Israel, any woman that got pregnant outside of marriage, they take them out into the field and stone them to death. That was what they did. So when this little girl, when this woman was told that she was going to have a child, and she knew she wasn't married, she wasn't about to be involved in that. But see, the angel had to tell her, it's okay, don't you worry, because this is something very special that God is doing. And he said, the Spirit of God will come upon you, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the shadow of the Most High God will also overshadow you, and that holy thing that will be born of you will be called a Son of God. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Because you're all virgins here today, from God's point of view. You're all virgins, because you've not yet produced what God wanted. You see, in Genesis 1:28, when he said, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, he was saying, I want you to birth the Christ. But see, we haven't done it. Everybody is required to do that. Everybody. But we didn't understand that. So we've never done that. We have never birthed the Christ. You remember? And I'm trying to put this together slowly for you. Abraham, one day, you know, God is telling him all the great things that he was going to do. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make you a blessing to all the nations of the earth. Kings are going to come out of you. You know, lots of people are going to come out of you, and so on. All of these things. And Abram says, but you have never given me any seed. His wife Sarah was barren. She couldn't have a child. So he said, you've never given me any seed. What am I going to do? How am I going to do all this? And he said, the Lord said to him, come on out of your tent. Now he said, look up. He said, count the stars. And Abram said, I can't. There's too many. I mean, there are billions and billions and billions of stars up there. The Hubble telescope, you know, it's still headed on out somewhere. They don't know where it's going to end up, but it's just keeping on going out. And the further it goes, the more galaxies are being discovered. Stars. Billions of them. And what did God say to Abram? Your seed will be as the stars of heaven. Come on. Your seed. Your seed. Your seed. Do you hear this? Your seed will be as the stars of heaven. How in the world can we do that? You've read that many times, haven't you? Well, what did you decide when you read that? You just brushed over that and said, whoa, that's way beyond me. I can't even figure that one out. How are we going to bring forth seed that is children like the stars of heaven? How? Well, because if you birth the Christ, you will birth all of humanity. Are you hearing this? If you birth the Christ, you will birth all of humanity. Why? Because in Christ is all of humanity. Are you hearing this? Come on, you see, it starts to make a little sense when we understand. There's a lot more to this story yet, but I'm going to have to break because we're using a disc recorder here and only takes so many minutes. So let's slip another disc in and we'll keep going. We can go further yet.